everybody. This is Maggie from the Positude Podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. Again, at last count, we had over 60,000 downloads on iTunes alone for the Positude Podcast for previous episodes for the past year. And I'm very, very grateful and appreciative to all of you for listening. Thank you so much for your support. It means so much. So as promised, tonight will be the first episode of one of the new shows. This one would typically be called the Positude Powwow. And for this episode, I chose to just talk to you to let you know a little bit about myself, why I feel the way that I do about certain things. And as episodes continue on, we'll get more into depth with that. And I just wanted to be able to share a little bit of my background, let you know why I believe some of the things that I do, some of the experiences that I've shared personally, which, 80% of my family probably doesn't even know some of the stories that I'm going to tell you tonight. But I was shown to share some of my private life with all of you so that you feel more comfortable with me in it. And it will add somewhat a degree of credibility to some of the things that we'll talk about later on down the line so that you'll be able to understand my perspectives on things and why I feel the way I do. And just so that we can become more familiar with each other. So that's what tonight's show will be about. And let me just start off by saying that a lot of you I know have listened to my previous interviews that I have done. And I was born gifted, psychic, fruits of the spirit, gifts from God, whatever you choose to call it. From a very small age, I could see, hear, sense, and even smell things and see dead people. And I was told for probably the first 14 years of my life that what I was seeing wasn't real, that it was my imagination. I was told to turn on the nightlight and it would go away, that there was nothing to be afraid of. And that was by my grandparents, who loved me very, very much and who pretty much raised me, because they didn't want anyone else to know that I was born this way. They didn't want me, at the time I was going to Catholic school, they didn't want me to tell someone who would tell the parish priest or have my friends find out from a story that I had told them and have them go home, tell their parents, and so that I would be ostracized by my friends is what their fear was. My fear was in keeping things quiet out of respect for them once they told me why they had done what they had done was so that I didn't bring any negative attention to the family, so that my family didn't have to suffer any consequences because of the way that I was born and the things that I had experienced. So for the first 14 years, things were told to them and they believed me and they listened to me. And they took heed to my warnings and advice, and I knew when a family member was going to pass on and how they were going to die, and if someone was sick, if someone was hurt. From a very small age, in certain cases, I've been able to touch people and make them feel better. It wasn't something that I really understood what I was doing at the time. As I was a child, those instances were kind of few and far between, but as I got older, that was one of the things that got stronger for me. So at 14, my mom sat me down and told me, we believe you. We've believed you all along, but we didn't want you to be ostracized. We didn't want you to be embarrassed. So we wanted you to know that we believe you. Both your grandparents, both your grandmothers were gifted, and they were very respected in their villages. They were clairvoyant, clairaudient. They did healing work on both sides, and that gift had been passed down to me by bloodline. So I was raised strict Roman Catholic, and, these were just not things that we spoke about. And as I grew up, because of some of the experiences that I'd had, I knew that Catholicism wasn't totally right in a lot of aspects. And I knew that there were discrepancies from things that I had seen and things that I just inherently knew, as opposed to the teachings that I had been raised up to to believe in. I know that with Catholics and with Christians, especially, mediumship is something that is very much talked about in circles as being a tool of the devil, and that if you were to be able to communicate with spirits, that they're not good spirits, they're not a good entity. Essentially, what we were taught is that they were demons, you know, and bad entities. So, and, you know, I have to admit that over the years, because of what I've been shown and because of what I've learned, in many instances, that can very well be the case. When someone presents themselves or something presents itself to you as Uncle George, it may very well not be Uncle George. The entities that are out there are very deceptive and very manipulative, and they can cloak themselves and appear to be one thing when in essence they're something entirely different. And in the course of my childhood, I was able to see and communicate with things like that. I would see shadows. I would see shapes and forms. I would hear voices. And after my 14th birthday, when my mom explained to me why, it clarified a lot of things for me. But at the same time, I didn't have anybody to fall back on. I didn't have anybody to ask, because by that time, both of my grandmothers had passed on. And the rest of the family really didn't know a lot about what they did. They just, you know, had heard stories, you know, and seen some things, but they really didn't have any indication or any way to show me how to control it or be able to pursue it should I choose. So for many years, I cloaked it. You know, I would see things and I just wouldn't tell anyone unless it was a matter of physical, potential physical harm to them, and it was someone close to me. Then I would share that information with them until I got into my mid-30s, maybe. And my cousin, who I think had aspirations of being my professional manager when I struck the big time, and she was going to get a cut of what I made because that was totally my cousin. She always had an angle. She pushed me into doing readings for family, and then it kind of branched out from there. I did do public stuff and developed very reliable name for myself as being accurate, very accurate, and very legitimate, and always caring about the people that I had the good fortune to be able to help. And with readings, my readings are very different anyway. I never approached it from an aspect of, you know, being a money-making venture, or, you know, the show circuit in and of itself. Sometimes can have a very circus-like atmosphere. And to me, depending on where I was and what I was doing, it wasn't satisfactory for me. It wasn't something that really fulfilled me to be at that type of venue most of the time, just because it's very competitive, and I didn't want to be on display, you know. And when you work with someone one-on-one, the one-on-one is really what I was striving to do, to be able to help people in an informal setting, but be able to give them advice that they needed to help them on their life path. And so for a while, I really felt like I was making a difference. I felt like I was helping people that way, because the information that I received was always very positive in nature. It was always, you know, for instance, I can remember a time there was a man that came and sat down next to me. He was with his wife, and he had just lost his job of many years in like a factory. It was like 15 years in a factory, and the place was closing down. He had lost his position, and he had children to support. And right away, as soon as I touched him, the information started flowing to me, and I was told to tell him that you need to sketch, you need to get back to drawing. You did that as a child, you did that as a teenager, you really enjoyed it, and that's something that you really need to pursue, that's going to be very, very beneficial to you in the future. And, you know, you talk to a guy and you explain that to him, and he, I think he actually told me, I think you're nuts, but, you know, it was very hard for him to believe. But he pursued it. And, you know, sometimes with things that I was shown, it would be a couple of weeks or a couple of months, even a year or two until what I had seen actually came to fruition. So somewhere down the line, he actually got a hold of me and told me, you know, at the time I thought you were crazy. I thought I needed to go to mechanic school or to HVAC school or something like that and, you know, learn a new trade. But I picked up on my drawing. I started to work on stuff again, and I actually won like a local art contest or something. And he actually, from there, had his own private gallery showing coming up at a small gallery. So he said, I didn't think it was possible at the time, but you know, you were right. Things like that, you know, anxiety, mental anxiety, panic attacks, things like that. I was always able to either touch the person and make them feel better, or with my verbal words, be able to make them feel more confident, more safe, comfortable, and be able to either entirely or at least slow down the attacks and have them develop a sense of self, a sense of confidence in themselves and their abilities, and teach them that they knew that they could overcome whatever the struggle was that they were going through in their personal life. Yeah, you know, I got asked the question, you know, was my husband cheating and things like that. And those were always kind of the readings that I really disliked to do because, and I'd always steer them away from that type of thing and focus on what was positive in their life and what they could be thankful for and ways to improve as they were given to me on that person's particular strengths, you know, what they could do to develop their personal skills and to help themselves and their families to learn and to grow. And so it was something that I was really proud of, you know, and I was very happy to be able to help people. I had taken Reiki level 1 and 2. And so I was doing energy healing work at the time. I had researched many different ways of doing energy work and healing and things like that. And along my path, I've come down so many different religious structure, belief structures. I've learned about so many different backgrounds and so many different ways that people do things that I really had to figure it all out by myself. So, you know, having been born this way and having no one to show me, when I first started to really get into it and open up to it, when I had a question about something that I didn't understand, I would just look up a local psychic that I knew, or a couple of them actually, and ask their opinions. You know, I would explain to them I was gifted. We developed a rapport and, you know, something followed me home. What do I do? You know, I've got bad energy around me. I don't feel right. What do I do? Somebody, you know, I saw something here. What do I do? You know, how do you handle this? And depending on who I spoke to and what their, what they were raised to believe in or what as adults they came to believe in, I got a whole just giant variety of answers. I mean, anything from, well, you need to work this spell, or you need to burn some sage, or you need to meditate, or you need to pray, or you need to use crystals. Just tons of different answers for one simple question. How do I treat this, and how do I do it effectively, and how do I do it the right way? And, you know, I've got to be honest with you, I've got friends in all different kinds of circles, all different types of belief patterns. And I researched and read and learned as much as I could about every single one of them. And none of them ever felt totally right to me. Wiccanism, you know, to put a bunch of herbs in a pot and do spell work and chant work, I never could identify with that. And I'm not making light of that, but I couldn't get with it. I couldn't, it just wasn't for me. And inherently, when, you know, I would buy these books and research stuff like this, you know, love spells and things like that, you know, it always felt wrong to me. Inside, it always felt wrong because I knew that I shouldn't ever mess with someone's free will. That was one thing that inherently I always know and had known from the time I was a small child was you cannot mess with someone's free will. You can't interfere with that. So that never felt right to me. My friends went down their path and I kind of veered off on another and would try, you know, meditation or Buddhism or, I went, my, one of my friends was a pagan and I, I learned a lot about that religion from her and her friends. And you know, I love Thor. I love the movies, you know, the superhero movies and things like that. But I've been shown just several years ago, I used to do a lot of vivid, and I still do a lot of vivid visions where I would see things almost like a mini movie. And I've seen Egypt, and I've seen back into that time frame, the deities that were in charge at that time, way back in Egypt, the pharaohs, the kings, and all of that, and what they really were. And once I discovered what they really were, because previous to that, I had an intense fascination with Egypt and was almost obsessed with it to a degree. And I love archaeology anyway, love to study, love to learn. But once I was shown what actually the energies were that were in charge and exist all over, that totally turned me off to that. So, but, you know, Isis and Thor and all of that, love the movies, but, you know, having the statues and praying, that just never felt right to me either. I could never really connect with it. I thought it was really cool. I give my friends a lot of credit for, you know, what they like to do and, you know, things like that. That's great. But I always knew there was one true God, and I just, it didn't make sense to me. You know, I understand that in good, just like in an evil, there are hierarchies, you know, and we have one, we have a God, and, you know, he's got angels that help him, just like there's the devil and bad guys help him, the demons. You know, there are hierarchies and there are different levels. But I couldn't get down with that thought process either, you know, the whole gods and goddesses thing. So, I mean, I've talked to strict Christians, and I've talked to Jehovah's, and I've talked to just pretty much any religious sect or belief structure that you can think of, and researched so many of them. And the probably the one that I identified with the most back then was New Age. And I did fall on that bandwagon for 2-3 years. I was coming out of a difficult personal time, and I couldn't figure out why when I pray on something, my prayers weren't getting answered. And, you know, come to find out, you know, how many of us will, you know, see a truck coming down the other side of the road at us at 90 miles an hour in our lane and, oh God, please save me. You know, that's when you call on your support, right? When you want something. How many people are thankful, though, every single moment of every single day for the stuff that we have, for the gifts that we're given, you know? And so I learned that it can't just be a when you want it. It's got to be a full commitment, and it's got to be all of the time. So that was one of the things that I learned. But being gifted, it was very difficult because I didn't have anybody, like I said, show me the way that I should do things or explain to me why, you know, that really ever totally clicked with me. So I went down the New Age path, and I was all about the universe for a couple of years. And, you know, and it made sense to me because the thought of me having control to change, having my thoughts change my destiny, or having my thoughts change my health, that rang true to me to a degree, because I knew inherently that I could heal my own body and sometimes help other people in a lot of circumstances. I knew that firsthand because I'd done it. So that made sense to me. The fact that I could center my mind and think about something and concentrate on it and have someone else that was mutually gifted, that was open to their gifts, read my mind and know what I was thinking, and we could communicate that way. That was really cool. That made sense to me. I got that. The fact that I could visualize something and perceive it and change my perception so that what I would want would almost manifest, that made sense to me because I've been able to do things like that in the past before too. At least that's what I thought at the time, you know? So that was probably the longest, probably, I want to say 2-3 years was I was involved with that for a long time, you know, compared to the others. And, you know, it made sense to me. But, you know, one day I was just, something happened, and just the whole universe thing, it just wasn't feeling, I don't know, I was having questions in my mind. And so I started to pray on it. And, you know, who created the universe, right? So I knew that that wasn't the end all be all. Okay. And I knew that there were a lot of things that I didn't understand. And when I asked on it just a couple of years ago, I was told, you know, there are many things that you don't understand, but if we were to tell you exactly the way that it was, if I was to show you exactly the way that it was, your mind, your human physical mind wouldn't be able to hold it. It wouldn't be able to understand it. You don't have the capacity at your level. So, you know, again, the whole enlightenment and the rising vibrations and all of that, that, you know, kind of made sense to me. I thought I wasn't at a level to where I could understand things. So there you go, right? But it just, again, it didn't feel right. So I kind of went back and forth with that for a couple of years. And, you know, on my journey, I've got many scraped knees and many scars from falling and getting back up and trying to figure things out on my own, and having advice thrown at me from every direction from all different types of backgrounds, and nothing ever fit, you know, not 100%, nothing ever fit. And some things were just really felt wrong to me, and I just would just run from those because I knew, you know, that's not good at all. I had a really bad feeling about that. But, you know, learning to be psychic, you know, what do you do? How do you handle it? I mean, when you see things and when you hear things and when you're being shown things, it's really hard to be able to keep control of that sometimes. I can remember one time I was at an event, and it was a fundraiser. And back then, even then, you know, 7-8 years ago, I did a lot of fundraising and community things for people who had fallen down on their luck or had hardship. And I can remember particularly there was an instance where there was a man that I was really fond of, and I thought he was a great guy, wonderful family, couple of kids, you know, just a good person, a lot of fun. And he and his family lost everything they had to a house fire. And so there was an event to do a fundraiser for him. And I don't know, I brought a gift basket or two to put on the table, and, you know, paid my entry to be able to support the family to recuperate some of their loss, some of their loss. And I remember being there, and there was a gentleman that I knew, you know, just to say hello to. I didn't know him personally, but he was there, I think, with a girl. And there was music playing, and, you know, there were a couple of bands that I respected and really wanted to see. So I was hanging out, and he walked past me. And as he walked past me, I brushed his arm. And I said to him, hi. And he said, hi. So he stopped for a second. And all of a sudden, as soon as I touched his arm, it was like this immense download flow of information just came into my body. And I saw him in a hospital. I saw him being sick. I saw a long recuperative process. I saw him having problems with eating and digestion. I saw pain, physical pain. I saw that there were some minor setbacks, nothing major. Things didn't go exactly as planned. And I saw him in the hospital bed over and over, and just the look of pain on his face. And, you know, at the time before, several months before the last time I had seen this guy, he was a really big guy. You know, he was big. And when I saw him that night, he had lost a lot of weight. So seeing what I had seen and being shown what I was shown, before I could stop myself, I said to him, have you been sick? And immediately, you know, I looked him top to bottom, head to toe, and back up. And, you know, I had noticed the weight loss. And at that instant, he looked at me. He had the most beautiful blue eyes, really intelligent guy. I always saw with him, every time I saw this guy, I knew that down the line, he was going to like do something real original and creative and be successful at it. And I thought he was very intelligent, always impressed me, good sense of humor. Again, you know, from an arm's length, didn't really know him personally. That's just what I got from him every time I looked at him. So he looks at me with this look of pain on his face. It was fleeting. It was glimpse, just a glimpse. It was, I saw pain shoot across his eyes when I said that to him. And I thought, oh my gosh, what did I do? I offended him. I hurt his feelings. And so immediately I drew back, and I closed myself off, and I felt so incredibly bad. And it was at that moment that I realized, you know, he had lost a lot of weight. I hadn't seen him in a while. When I looked him up and down, in his mind, what he perceived was, oh, I've lost a lot of weight. So right away, she thinks I've been sick. And that stuck with me all these years. It really did. I was horrified that I had hurt someone's feelings and never, ever would intentionally have done that, ever. And just because of what I was given, because of what I was shown, it came out all wrong. He perceived it all wrong. And had I known him, had he been a friend of mine, I would have said, hey, wait, let me explain. I'm so sorry. You know, but then I'd have to be forced to explain to him why I was the way I was. And a lot of people don't believe in that. So the chances are he would have thought I was crazy anyway. But, you know, at that moment when I saw the fleeting just look of pain cross his eyes and knew that I had hurt him, he, you know, kind of backed up. And I was like, well, okay, bye. You know, what do you do? You know, I felt absolutely horrible. And as soon as he turned and walked away from me, he had stomach reduction surgery. You know, he had like that kind of procedure. And I was like, oh my gosh. So everything that I had seen was real, but I hadn't gotten the whole picture. And it was at that moment I realized, you know, never again. Play your cards close to your chest. Don't tell anybody what you saw. If it's anything of importance, unless it's somebody that you really trust or you're really shown and told to tell them, when it comes to something like that, because you can really hurt someone's feelings. And my gosh, if I could have the chance to apologize to him, he probably thinks I'm the biggest jerk in the world for the last 7 or 8 years. If he ever saw me again, he'd probably run the other way. But I've always kicked myself for that and felt horrible for that, because I would never intentionally hurt someone that way. But I learned what's a really important lesson. You know, don't do that again. There was another time, there was a person that I really liked, cared about for a period of about 2 years, at least. And, there was no secret there. I didn't really pull any punches, but I wasn't the type to really chase either. That wasn't my style. So I just kind of, you know, let things progress and waited around for a couple of years. And after a couple of years, I was told, you can't wait anymore. You know, you can't change someone's free will, whether they be afraid, whether they're afraid of what their friends will think, whether they're scared of a relationship, whether they're afraid that, you know, I almost always got the feeling at that time that that person thought I was too good for them or something. It was weird. But there were a lot of mixed feelings there that I would get and that I would know. So I hung around, waited, didn't have anything better to do, and it was important to me. So after a couple of years, I was told, you know what, don't wait anymore. You've got to move on. And at the same time that I was shown that, and I started to date, all of a sudden now the interest was there. It seemed like I was getting more attention, and I'm like, are you kidding me? So I thought, okay, well, that must be why I was told to wait. You know, I was told, or to move. I was told to go so that, you know, this guy's going to realize, hey, you know, now she's seeing somebody else. I better get on the stick here. But I also knew at the same instance that he was just as stubborn as I was, and that wasn't going to happen, you know. But I hoped and I prayed that it would, you know. So, yeah, I moved on, and I was shown with a serious relationship that I became involved in after that. So was he going to be involved in a serious relationship? And after a number of years, and for myself, as far as myself was concerned, it would last longer, they would both end. They would both end up in a not good way. You know, they would end. So, and with mine, I was shown that I would go through a lot of emotional and physical stuff before it was over. And so then I'm like, well, why can't I just wait? You know, why can't I just wait around some more? Let me wait another year, you know, let's see what happens. And maybe I'm better off being alone, because, you know, if it's not 100% right, then I shouldn't get involved in somebody else. You know, let me just stay free again. Let me just stay single. Let me not get involved with anybody. And I was told again, no, you need to move on. You can't change someone's free will. And this is what's going to happen. So I was kind of pushed into a situation where I really didn't want to. And there was a lot of outside energy there too. There were a lot of people pushing me to do something. and get involved and, you know, get more serious. And, you know, I guess I kind of, at the time, the situation was that, quite truthfully, the decisions that I made would make other people's lives better. And it would be better for other people if I chose to go forward with this new relationship. And I prayed right up until the day I got seriously involved, you know, that I would get that phone call, but it never came. Stubborn. And so that's okay. You know, so there it was, you know, I went through the relationship and it was good. There weren't a lot of bad at first, you know, I mean, there was a lot of good there too. And I'm not angry or bitter or mad, or I don't hate anybody. We just weren't right for each other. And it was exactly as I had seen. I mean, there was a lot. It was a really tough time, a really bad time for a long time, you know, and that's okay. Because I learned from it. You know, I remembered what kind of person I wanted to be. And I got really strongly involved and motivated in what I wanted to do again, and was able to bring some dreams that I'd had to fruition and be able to, you know, I learned a lot about different things that I didn't understand before. I always thought I could change the world and save it. And I realized that I couldn't do that. You know, there are people that want to change and will, and there are people that won't. And you, again, you can't mess with someone's free will. And I tried that too. Because, you know, when there's an instance of alcoholism or drug abuse or mental issues, you know, sometimes it's not just a mental issue. Sometimes it's an issue of there's something inside that person. There's evil involved, you know, whether it be a demonic possession or whether it be an entity attachment. And a lot of times, if you clear that, the rest of the symptoms will go away. Not always, but a lot of the times that can be the case. And so I thought I'd take matters into my own hands when things started to get really bad and clear it. And I did. And the person didn't want to change. And so they became heavier involved in what they were doing and more, it's a long story, but the bottom line is it came back worse. You know, you hear it seven times. Yeah, that happens for real. And then I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now? Now I've really gotten myself in a pickle, but you know, there were some really good times and there were some hard times, and I got through. And I lived, I survived through it, and I learned a lot of people, about people, and how to handle certain situations, and forgiveness. Forgiveness is key. You really can't carry that hate and anger and fear around with you. You have to let it all go. It taught me a lot about myself. Again, I'd been in some really hairy circumstances in my life and been scared. In my life, a lot of times, when I was a kid, my real mom married, and then remarried after my dad, and then remarried again. And I was beat up every single day for years and years. And, you know, back then I prayed, you know, and I got through it. I had the strength and the courage to not only survive, but stick up for myself and get with the help and support of my family, who loved me very, very much. And had they known what was going on, the people that hurt me wouldn't be on this planet anymore, I can assure you. But, you know, through support of my family and through, you know, just their love and their kindness, I was able to get through and survive. And in this case as well, you know, I was able to depend on my faith to get me through. And, you know, show me that you really can't be angry or mad or hate. You're not going to get anywhere by that. You know, you have to forgive. You have to get over it. You not only have to forgive the person, but you got to forgive yourself. And then you got to ask for forgiveness, you know, because nobody's 100% wrong in any situation. No one's blameless. We all make mistakes. We're all at fault. And you have to ask for forgiveness, and you have to give it, in order to be saved on down the line. Because if you don't, you know, negativity truly does create disease in the body. You can't carry that around with you. It's not going to do anybody any good. So I was very upset with myself. I forgave everybody else involved in the situation, but I was angry at myself for not doing what my gut told me to do years ago and just hang back and wait and stay by myself and not get involved with anybody. I was angry. And so at that point, I was disappointed. And so I went a little crazy again, went down a different path. You know, I thought, well, hell, I'm just going to party and have fun, you know, and do what I want to do because that's just what I want to do. And that didn't serve me well either. So I got back on path again and, you know, started to take better care of myself and really, really get back into my faith and figure out what was right, what was wrong, what was good, what was not, what I needed to do and what I didn't need to do and what would serve me best and what would serve others best. And that's kind of how it's been for me the past 2-3 years. You know, it's been a great eye opener for me. If I had things to do over again, we'd all do things so much differently. Right. But excuse me, I learned from those mistakes and I grew from them. And like I was told all those years ago, this will be a learning experience for you. It sure was. It opened my eyes to a lot of different things. But it also got me on the spiritual path that I'm on now. So I was able to develop my work and I was able to help more people. And because of what I'd been through and some of the things I'd experienced, it gave me more of a background to be more empathetic to others who were going through the same type of thing or had experienced the same types of things and be more empathetic to the people that actually are a lot of times perceived as the bad guy. Because a lot of people really don't understand what they're going through. And, you know, they can legitimately feel like they're right and have all these ideas in their head that they believe with 100% accuracy, they believe to them, this is real, but it's not, you know? So mental illness, evil influence, drugs and alcohol, you know, I pretty much there's nothing you can't show me that I haven't already seen or been through. And I don't think anything at this point could break me. So that's pretty cool. But spiritual warfare, I've gotten very involved with that in the past couple of years and be able to help a lot of people with that, you know, instances of hauntings, extreme hauntings, things being thrown, people being scratched, people being bitten, people being thrown across the room, figures appearing, things physically touching them, even sexually at times. I mean, it's just, there are a whole lot of things that I've seen. And I've learned how to help people with that. And, you know, that's one thing that I really take pride on is anybody that knows me will say I did, but I really don't mean I did. It wasn't me, you know, it was the higher power that did everything. I didn't heal anybody. I didn't make the bad guys go away. I was just kind of like a physical way for, you know, the healing to come through. And that's really cool too. In the past 2 or 3 years, the healing energy has gotten amazingly strong. I did have Reiki levels 1 and 2 and I practiced that for a number of years. I don't use Reiki energy anymore. Just because of, there are many gifts that I was given and one manifested almost 2 years ago, I guess now I would say, that I really don't want to go too public with. At this point. But suffice it to say that the gifts that I have now are much, much stronger than the Reiki energy ever thought of being. And I have been attuned for masters. I am a master's in Reiki. And I have to be honest with you, when I got attuned for my master's, I felt absolutely no shift or change in energy at all. Nothing. First level, yeah. Second level, little. Third, nothing. Nothing. Because what's inside of me is a lot stronger than the Reiki energy. And so I'm very blessed that way that I don't have to use any of that other stuff. Tools are something that I've gotten away from the last several years too. I have a girlfriend that's very, very good at what she does. She's an awesome healer. Her name is Kathy, and she's very good at doing energy healing. She's exceptional at it. But she's also faith-based. So I believe that's why her healings are stronger. But I don't use Reiki energy anymore. I use strictly what comes from above through me. So the healings have been extraordinary, and that's really cool. To have somebody that's been in pain for 18 years and not be able to get up out of bed every day, have no pain anymore, and not have any symptoms anymore after 18 years of discomfort, that's really awesome, I think. And, you know, I realize, again, that it's not me, you know. So I want to be able to help as many people as I can that way. And the people that I'm working with that are able to help me are really, really gifted too, and they're able to use their talents to be able to help others and be able to be my backup on cases where, you know, we'll go to a really bad house or a really bad environment. And there isn't just one creature there. There is a multitude, or a very, very strong presence. It's really nice to have somebody to count on that has my back, you know. I don't have any fear for hardly anything anymore. Not your typical fears anyway. But having said that, you know, different experiences that I've had. There was one that I did a clearing. The people were Wiccan all their life. The kids were being raised in kind of a Wiccan environment, and they were having a lot of problems on their property. And their coven had gone out several times to try and clear the energy that was there without success. And the children were frightened. And so quietly, I just kind of went out there with my buddy who helps me and did what I did. And immediately there was a shift, you know. The kids weren't scared anymore. You know, the kids were running around in all different parts of the house that they wouldn't have gone in before, like ever, that they were totally frightened of. They were running around happy, playing, telling me they weren't afraid anymore. Like within minutes, you know, I'm not afraid anymore. Look, I can go in this room, running up and down the hallways. It was just amazing to see. And the mom couldn't figure it out. You know, she's like, why? And so she couldn't remember my name, and she kept calling me the Christian, which I thought was kind of funny. It was sounded like Robin Hood and, you know, Kevin Costner and Robin Hood, if anybody remembers that movie. But yeah, that's what she referred to me as to her friends. She's like, how come, you know, I can't believe that I'm even talking to you. You're a Christian. How come this worked? How come? And so I gave her some prayers to do, you know, and I told her, I said, look, this is kind of the way it is for me. If this works for you and you continue to do this kind of stuff and stay away from other things that you shouldn't be doing, you're not going to have an issue again. But if you do, it's going to come back and it's going to be worse. It's your call. Do what you want to do. Here are the things that you need. Do it or not, you know? As far as physical tools go, insofar as for readings, cards, pendulums, I had used a pendulum before and sometimes in ghost hunts and things like that. And, you know, actually, that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand. And in Catholicism, we talk about, you know, mediumship being bad. And in Christianity, mediumship, seeing dead people, talking to dead people, you know, you think it's your Uncle George here, but it's really not your Uncle George. A lot of strict Christians believe that that is an evil entity. You can never speak to a spirit. It's not really a spirit. It's a demonic entity. And, you know, I have to admit, from what I've learned in the last couple of years, they're not entirely wrong in that aspect. In most cases, you have to be really careful what you're talking to. And I don't do seances. I don't allow anything into my body. I never, ever channel. Went down the astral traveling road. Yeah, I tried that. I was really good at it for a while. And then I don't do that anymore either, because I learned the hard way that that's not the good thing to do. I will tell you, in instances of healing, though, I have been able to bilocate, although it wasn't something that I had studied. It just kind of happened. I was working on my girlfriend in North Carolina, and she could physically feel me sitting next to her on the sofa and physically feel my hands on her arm where she was having pain. And she called me up like crazy. You know, how are you doing this? How? I'm like, I don't know. I was just sending you healing energy. So I have done that before and been places that I haven't physically visited. And I can tell you, you know, what the grass feels like under my feet and what the dirt smells like and what the flowers there smell like. And I haven't been told yet. Some people, when they bilocate, they're told that, you know, other people will say to them, hey, I saw you at Walmart the other day and you haven't been at Walmart. You know, that time I haven't had anybody come back and tell me yet, other than, you know, physically feeling me. They haven't actually been able to see me. But I have been able to do that. And that's just something that happens as a side effect of healing for me. It's not something that I intend. I don't, spirit guides, you know, I went down that path before. Oh my gosh. You know, I had a girlfriend tell me that you got a huge Indian, and I had seen this guy. I had seen this Indian around me, you know, and he was huge. And he did try to talk to me, and he did tell me he was a spirit guide. I had several other what I thought were spirit guides that were influencing me earlier on in life, you know, that I would communicate with and think that, you know, it wasn't the right knowledge. The stuff that this guy was sharing with me, this giant Indian was sharing with me, and the things that he was trying to get me to do in my life were so, they just right away my gut flipped and I'm like, this is not right. This is not the right answer. This, you're not helping me. So I sent him packing and I don't do spirit guides anymore. Just because as I learned more, I realized that, at least the ones that were trying to communicate with me were not good guys. You know, they weren't telling me things that were beneficial and that were true to me. They were trying to steer me down paths that I knew that I didn't belong on. So no more of that. Cards. Yeah. I started out when I was first coming into my own and developing my skills. I used to use cards. I used to use pendulums sometimes. And then, you know, one time I was sitting with the pendulum and I asked it a question. I knew the answer was yes. It was answering me no. I'm like, threw that out. Cards, people like something shiny to look at, you know, and their energy does go into the deck that they shuffle. Yes, there's truth in that, and it does influence their draws, but, you know, things that can influence those things too. And so I don't use anything anymore. My strongest gift has always been the ability of touch, and I've been able to do many, many things for people without having physically met or touched them. But when I'm blessed with the opportunity to be able to touch someone and hold their hands, the information just flows so much smoother and so much more in detail than when I'm not able to. But again, that's because of the path that I've taken the past 2 or 3 years. So many things have gotten so much stronger for me and so much more accurate. That I started seeing several years ago, worldwide visions and, you know, intercontinental things. And, you know, I saw the floods in Louisiana before it happened. I saw the New York floods. I saw some fires. I've seen a bunch of different things that have ended up coming through. The one was as soon as a week and a half, 2 weeks before it happened. One time it was the night before it happened. And in the instance of New York City, it was almost a year before it happened, before it actually transpired. So my timelines, I don't stress too much about that. If I see it, I know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And sometimes I'll get an indication of that physically. If my stomach gets really, really upset, I know that it's impending, you know, and going to happen soon. But I've been able to warn people that way too, close friends of mine, where I would see a disaster about to strike. I've been able to reach out to them and let them know that, you know, you want to get out of there or don't stay around there too long. Because, you know, for this area, this is what I see happening. And then it would happen, you know, so that's kind of scary sometimes, you know. It's hard to deal with again. And, you know, is it my right really to tell people some of the things that I see? Well, Now I've been guided to show a lot more than I was before. I was told that there are some things that I do need to share with people, and so I'm going to go ahead and do that. But again, going back to that guy in the bar, you know, with those awesome eyes, you know, I kept a lot of things close to my chest. With my healing, there's also, it's kind of a double, some people would call it a double-edged sword. A year and a half, closer to 2 years ago, maybe, this ability surfaced that the healing got very, very intensely strong. And there are side effects to that. Long story short, because of what I have now, there's a lot of physical pain that's involved. And I really don't want to go into it any more than that, but it affects me physically. So it's, I kind of call it an affliction, but, you know, some days I'm in a lot of pain, and I'm in a lot of pain for a lot of days at a time. Sometimes, a lot of times at night, it's very difficult for me to sleep, if at all, because it tends to get worse at night when it's bad. And, you know, it never goes away. Some days it's more moderate, and, you know, I feel it, but I'm able to function, you know, somewhat normally. But, so that was another thing that developed for me that, I really hadn't asked for or counted on, but it's something that I'm dealing with because of what was given to me, I'm able to help a lot of people. And again, it makes, you know, the healing a lot stronger. Even than it was several years ago. So yeah, I don't use Reiki energy anymore. Drawn symbols, stuff like that, I don't do anything like that. It's pretty much everything from straight from God, you know. Look, I could sit here and I could talk to you for an hour, like some people that I know in the field. And I love them, but their tactics are a little different than mine. I've done many, many lectures across the country, through Skype personally. I could take the, you know, the stance that I'm going to stand up here on a pedestal and act like I'm perfect and tell you how wonderful I am and I'm so great because of this. But that's really not where I come from. And I was shown a long time ago that the best cloak to wear, if any, is the brown cloak of humility, right? And so I'm able to do what I can do through the grace of God, and I'm able to help people because of that. But everybody can do pretty much what I've been able to do for people if we'd all just help each other and want to, you know? And I don't think that it does me any good to try and act superior to anybody else, or to try and convince someone of my thought process. What some of these shows are going to be about, the prophecy show and the powwow. The powwow is going to introduce you to so many different people that you wouldn't normally have access to, and be able to share their gifts and talents with you right from the privacy of your living room and from the privacy of theirs, which is like ideal. My interviews are going to be very impromptu. I have some questions I'll ask. It's not going to be, I don't want my people to feel when they're gracious enough to come on the show and be able to share their talents. I don't want them to feel nervous. I don't want them to feel like I've got to hammer out 15 questions in 45 minutes and you're going to answer all of these questions to get through the show. No, it's going to be very impromptu. It's going to be very chill, laid back, but we're going to have a lot of knowledge. And the prophecy show is, you know, going to be so cool because I'll be able to share some things with you and bring on other guests and let them share things they've seen. And you know what? It's really awesome that things that I was shown 7-8 years ago, people are actually starting to discover physical evidence of things that I was shown 7 and 8 years ago. Are you kidding me? That is the coolest thing ever to me, that validation, that things that I was shown are actually not just coming to fruition, but people are coming up with physical, hard evidence that they can hold in their hand and say, look. That just blows my mind. And so many people are doing investigative interviews and, you know, pursuing different thought patterns that I was shown, you know, a long time ago. And they're thinking the same things that I've been shown. They're seeing the same things that I have. There's a reason for that. We can't all be crazy, you know? Well, maybe, but I don't think so. I know not. So, that's really cool to me. So we'll bring on some people that have seen some of the same types of things that I have seen and be able to share their stories with you. People that are not sick anymore, that were sick, I want to share some of those people with you and let them tell you their story firsthand. Artists, musicians, maybe, you know, people that have influenced me in a good way, and people that have had really awesome things happen to them in their lives that they want to share with you. That's the kind of people that I'm going to be having on my show for the powwow. For prophecy, same deal. I'm going to share stuff with you, and they're going to share stuff with you of things they've seen if they're able to come on and are willing to share some of the things that we've talked about in private. And like I said, I'm approaching some pretty heavy hitters with any luck and God's grace, they'll come on, you know, and I can have some of these guys that have physical evidence of things that I've seen, you know, and we could talk about that. How cool would that be? Different religious beliefs, the passages show, you know, like I said, we're going to go through what I believe versus what they believe. And we're going to talk about why I feel the way I do and why I know what I know and why they feel the way they do. And we're going to pick apart passages, and we're going to talk about Nephilim and UFOs and dragons and ghosts and demons. And, you know, you want to talk about the Loch Ness Monster? We can do a show on that too. I don't care. But it's how it relates to religious roots, prophecy, UFOs, all kinds of cool things. It's going to be a really great ride. But as I said, I just wanted to start out by introducing myself and letting you know a little bit more about my personal life so that you understand that none of us are perfect. We've all had struggles. If you have any problems, please, please email me at maggie_heart@outlook.com. If you have anxiety, if you're having sleeplessness, if you're afraid in your home, if you have, God, if you're a veteran with PTSD, before you hurt yourself or do anything, please, please get a hold of me. If I cannot help you, I have a network of people, and I'm very cautious when I say that word because networking, I've been bitten many, many times by trying to network and help people by handing them off to others. And I've got to be really careful with that now, but I have to be honest with you. I've found people in the spiritual field, in the religious field, in the medical field, in the psychological field, that if I can't help you, I have really good people that can and that are willing to work with you, probably like I do on a volunteer basis, or at least for a discounted rate. So please, before you go to hurt yourself or do something silly, if you're scared, get a hold of me and let me, if I can't help you, get you to somebody that can, you know, because that's another thing that I've learned is we can't save the world, but I can't do everything either, you know, and I would never put somebody at physical risk for trying to help them, but not being able to. I don't work outside of the realm of what I know I can handle, what I know I can accomplish. So that's that. But anyway, that's pretty much it for this evening. It'll give you an idea of what the future show's about. We're going to kick right in with the next episode with a powwow with an interview. Is hopefully what the next show lineup will be. But I've got two already taped and looking to do another one. So we're on a roll. It's taken me a couple more weeks to get started because I had delays in connecting with people to interview. And I have a lot of other outside things going on as well, as you know. So I apologize for the delay, but we're finally ready to get this train rolling. And they'll be up on YouTube as soon as we can physically do so as well. As far as the people ask me, why are you doing the radio? You know, why? A couple people know that I was offered a TV show at one time. Why don't you do that? Why? Well, because I don't really, at this point in time, I'm really not ready to do that. A camera adds 10 pounds, you know, I seriously, I just don't know if I want to pursue that right yet. Maybe somewhere down the line, that might be a viable option for me. But, you know, as I said, I'm a really private person, and the thought of a camera following me around, I'd really like to be able to take some of you on some of the investigations that we do and some of the blessings that we do in the clearings. But, you know, I struggle with that too, because it's an infringement of the individual's privacy. And, you know, to some degree, I mean, I don't watch television, but some of the shows that I've seen, they definitely violate the people's privacy and make a spectacle of it. And, you know, that's, again, not really where I'm coming from with this. You know, that's, it's not about turning it into a carnival atmosphere. So I struggle with that, and I go back and forth. We'll see. But for now, this is a really good opportunity and an outlet for me, especially with opening the YouTube channel and pursuing other avenues to get more exposure and to get more people aware of what we're doing, and so that we can help more people and that you can hear really cool stories that you wouldn't be able to hear anywhere else in a really different kind of format than what you're used to. So there you go. That answers that question. I hope I'm off the hook with it. But also another thing I want to say is, because I have so many friends in different belief structures, I'm going to say this one time. And when I'm in a lot of pain, I tend to repeat myself and use catchphrases. Tonight's thankfully a good night so far. But I'm going to say this one time. Everybody's got different beliefs. If you don't like what I have to say, simply turn me off. I'm not twisting your arm to listen to me. I'm not making you listen to me at all. Okay. But these shows are going to be very fun and very cool and hopefully very different than anything you've heard, just like the podcast. If I step on any toes, I apologize for that in advance. But in the past, I've been kind of wussified by that, because I struggle with not wanting to hurt people's feelings because of previous experiences. But I really have to be a little more firm in my approach and what my belief systems are. And if it's not something that you're down with, then that's fine. Turn off the dial. I do respect and believe that everybody's religion or culture is important and important to them. And I'm not out to bash anybody. But if I step on any toes along the way because I have a different belief structure, I'll turn off the dial, you know. But I'm not going to apologize for what I'm going to tell you and the way that we do things on my shows anymore. I just don't want to do that. It's not being true to who I am. So I can respect you, and I hope that you can respect me. But that's all I'm going to say on that one. So with that, have a wonderful night, and I hope to see you back here next week. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.